What is one of the most overlooked things when it comes to achieving success in sports and life? This thing that we are going to be talking about with the great Coach AB, Amanda Schaefer, she's going to unpack for us what is overlooked when people are really trying to be successful. This one key component. Amanda, great to be with you today.
Chad, I'm so pumped. Thanks for having me today.
Well, and Amanda, it's just great to be with you. I know you personally have played sports at a very high level. You participate in the college level, and then you've gone on to help hundreds of younger individuals become elite athletes themselves. But Amanda, we're going to be talking about something that gets overlooked, because the reality is when it comes to sports, everyone's immediately looking at the individual's athletic ability. Yeah. But you take it a step further, because from going from good to great isn't athletic ability, it's something else.
Absolutely. I think we get caught up in the trap of keeping up with the Joneses, and a lot of athletes are raised by former athletes. So for the parents out there that are raising athletes, we have the assumption that my kid's talented. Let's invest in pitching lessons. Let's get her a new bat. Let's get him signed up for the best hitting coach in the state. And we push talent. And as you mentioned, talent and physical skills only get so far. And so when we look at the elite athlete, what we're finding is there has to be set of skills that help them to cope with their thoughts, their emotions. And that set of skills are called mental skills or sports psychology. It's all kind of under the same umbrella. And so the way that I like to describe it is if you come to any of my events or you're in our ecosystem at Fearless Warrior, the very first thing we teach, Chad, is the difference between mental toughness and mental strength. And we actually don't teach mental toughness, because when you look at the definition of mental toughness, it's the ability to withstand, the ability to cope. And if you say, just be mentally tough, but you're not actually teaching them how, you're setting them up for failure. And so, you know, we think about the previous generations. We were coached in a world where we were told to just suck it up. Don't show your emotions. Right. Just be tough. But there's no skills. And if I can educate parents, coaches, players, that there is a set of skills that you can teach to increase your mental strength, we're now shifting the paradigm. Because if you can increase your strength, we can increase your mental strength, just like you can increase your physical strength. You go to the weight room to get stronger. And so if we go to the mental skills lab or the mind gym, you can have a set of skills to increase your mental fortitude through skills.
Now, Amanda, when you unroll this to people or you share this with people, are they pretty surprised that, wait a second, because 100% everyone that's grew up, at least in my generation, it was just like, be tough, right. But you had no idea how to go be tough.
I think one of the best things I do, especially in front of a live audience, and I know you've done a lot of speaking, is I get them engaged right away and I kind of set them up, and it's fun, because I'll say things like, raise your hand if, and I'll say things like, who here has been told to suck it up? You get some hands that will go up. Who's been told to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, or just figure it out? And some of my personal favorites are just breathe, just relax. Well, have you taught them how to breathe? There's breathing techniques. Have you taught them how to downregulate? Have you taught them grounding techniques? Have you taught them these things? And then I have their ears perked, and then parents will start to realize, oh, we're not doing any mental training at all. We're not teaching them how. And then we wonder why they crack under the pressure, or they're having emotional meltdowns in the car ride after a bad game. And then what do? Well, this is how I was coached, so I'm going to push even harder.
Well, and Amanda, when we, you know, when I keep referencing when I was a kid, that the intensity wasn't what it is today. It's just not. People weren't living as publicly as we are today. People, when someone makes a mistake, it's on Instagram. When someone makes, you know, when someone has a success, it's on Instagram or social media. Mm-hmm. But so the stakes feel like they're a little higher today than they even were 10 years ago.
Right. Well, here's a perfect example. SID at a college, we had to wait for our sports information director to get the box scores from whoever the statistician was, which, I mean, paper book. We had to send our paper book, and then Game Changer is a stat, you know, software that didn't exist. So we had to have our coach send the box scores to our SID, who then took the data and wrote an article that was then maybe published a couple hours later.
Right.
But if it was a late game, we had to wait till the next morning to read the article on, you know, Concordia versus Morningside, you know, AB takes them out, blah, 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 whatever. Now with technology, these tools take the stats and AI is spitting out the game recap within 30 seconds.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So, okay. So when you, so Amanda, when you talk to these individuals, you're speaking at an event, you're training, you're teaching, when you say be mentally tough, what's one of the first things you tell them they need to be aware of or they need to do?
I love this. So when we say be mentally tough versus building your mental strength, I'll run them through an exercise where the first step is awareness. So when we give them analogies, and again, keep in mind, I work with a lot of youth athletes. So if you're listening to this and you have a team, whether you're in the corporate setting or in a sports setting, if you can give your team a visual, we're visual people. If you can give them an analogy that they can see and feel, my favorite one to use is a beach ball. So Chad, I want you to imagine, what sports do you play, Chad?
I'm a big golfer, you know. I well, I'm at the time point in my life, you know, I'm golfing, right?
I love it. So Chad, I'm going to hand you a big beach ball and I want you to hit the driving range, but you can't drop this beach ball. It's kind of big. I mean, it's a fun beach ball that you would take to your pool party. And so I want you to kind of hug this beach ball and then I want you to grab your 9-iron. What do you like to hit the range with?
Yeah, that's we'll take the 9-iron.
Or the driver. What, pick, take your pick, okay, right?
Let's go 9-iron. 9-iron.
Do you have the ability to hit that ball well while also holding the beach ball?
Oh. Yeah, no.
It would feel awkward.
Very
awkward. It would feel weird.
Right.
Right? And so if we're doing this at events, this is also hilarious. I want you to imagine at some of our events, we bring in some of these elite athletes who are Division I players who are currently playing, pro players. The AUSL is exploding. We bring in these athletes' favorite most pro, oh my gosh, Jordy Ball is on stage, or, you know, Lily Valamont, Ella Stevenson, and they're their idols. And I hand them a beach ball and then I'll start rolling them a softball. And these Division I athletes are struggling. Mm. Why? Because they're holding on to a beach ball.
Right.
And so what I'll say to them is, all of a sudden, now that they're holding onto a beach ball, why are they struggling with the physical skill of doing this? And the analogy is, when you hold on and you can't process those negative thoughts, you can't process those emotions, it's like holding on to that beach ball. It's like holding on to that mistake, that negative thought, the feelings of anger. And if we don't know what to do with those thoughts and emotions, it's like holding on to a beach ball and then you shame yourself because you suck at your sport.
Right.
Well, Chad, do you suck at golf or are you just holding on to a big old negative thought?
Right. Well, and I was thinking about this, Amanda, with anything in life, you know, as we're trying to navigate, if you're holding on to that beach ball, it's gonna mess you up.
Mm-hmm. And then we add more shame on top of shame, on top of more negative thoughts. And then we have judgments about ourselves.
Wow. Yeah. And when I'm speaking with individuals, everyone's really good at beating themselves up, right? They know, hey, I'm good at that negative self-talk. People are. So that first step is you've got to be aware of when you're going mm-hmm. down that path, because I'm telling you,
absolutely,
Amanda, we all can go to a dark place really quick if we're not careful. So that's
right.
Step one is you have to create that awareness. Once you're aware, once you realize you're holding that beach ball, then what?
Then the next step is action. But before we move on from awareness, one of the mistakes that my generation was raised in and previous generations is we say, oh my gosh, I'm holding on to this beach ball. And we try to shove it down. And the next analogy I like to use, and we haven't done this on stage yet because facilities don't like us to get their stages wet, but I want you to imagine if I tried to dunk this beach ball deep into a bucket of water, it's going to pop back up. And so what happens, and I'll use emotions, let's say I'm feeling really embarrassed that I just struck out. And I shove that embarrassment. I'm just going to shove it down. And I shove it down deeper. That embarrassment, if it's not dealt with or felt, and we just try to avoid it, cover it up, push it down, it's going to pop back twice as strong. This is why when you tell yourself, don't cry, don't cry, don't get angry, it actually enrages and fuels that feeling even more, because you have those neurochemicals in your body. Instead of processing those neurochemicals, you're now adding more neurochemicals onto that feeling, and that feeling becomes inflamed. And now we're aware of it, but we're actually making it worse. And so the teaching framework that I use, I have a pop method. We have to pop the beach ball. We have to deflate that energy in that air once you're aware of it. Oh, it can't just stop at awareness. We have to do something with it. And you can do that with mental skills. Again, mental skills are amazing because there's a ton of them. So if you're an athlete that feels like breathing techniques ground you, great. That might work for you. Some people feel like breathing doesn't help them. So can I give you a grounding technique, something to anchor you into the present moment? We can use a snapback routine or a failure recovery routine. Chad, I could go on and on and on. It's like, pick your mental skill that works for the athlete. And again, that has to happen within a coaching container that I can't possibly work through in one podcast. But step two is, okay, I'm aware of this beach ball. Now I need a tool, aka a mental skill, to do something with that beach ball, which is our emotions, our thoughts.
Well, and I love that you bring up the fact that if you just push it down, and I don't care if you are a high-performing athlete or just an individual that's trying to be successful in life, business, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you take that beach ball, you push it down, you're like, that comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes, Amanda, you don't even know when it's going to come back up, right? And so all of a sudden it comes back up at a very, you know, poor time.
Correct.
So then you pop, so you're aware of the beach ball. You can't just push it away. You have to deal with it. You have to pop the beach ball. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pick your mental skill, right? And it's the analogy of a surgeon, right? Is different people are going to latch on to different skills. And so let me give you a tangible example. Let's say I'm working with an athlete who's a pitcher, and her negative thought is, I can't throw to lefties. For whatever reason, when a lefty comes up, all of a sudden I've got this negative thought that I have a belief around this. I can't throw to lefties. How do we work through that beach ball? It's not going to be on the mound. It's not going to be in game situations.
Oh, that okay, work, wait, I've got to stop you right there.
Yes?
That's when most people deal with the beach ball though, Amanda, is when it comes up before them, they're like, oh, wait a second. I struggle with this or I struggle with that. And you do it right then.
In the pressure cooker.
Right. And obviously you're not going to set yourself up for success then.
Or a parent's yelling from the stand, right? Like just do that. It's so simple, right? From the stands, right?
Right.
Just throw strikes. It's not helpful. If it was helpful, it'd be helpful, but it's not, right?
Right.
And so I think the really cool thing about, you know, high performance, when we think about high performance, 90% of the work that I do, I know we've talked a lot about mental skills today, but 90% of the work that I'm doing is actually not mental skills. It's belief shifting. Mental skills are what the athlete is using to shift them too. So underneath those negative thoughts or those emotions, a lot of what I'm doing, especially with one-to-one clients, not so much in a group coaching, but I could give you the skill of breathing. And this is where I want everyone to listen. Let's say you have a beach ball and you ask me the question of like, what next, Coach AB? I would love to tell you, just do a 6-2-8 breath, look to the left, foul pole, check, check, and cookie cutter everybody into the same category. But no amount of mental skills is going to shift your identity or your underlying beliefs. So if we can get to the subconscious beliefs first, and then we say, okay, this mental skill is going to be your shift, your action step. The much deeper work that we're doing is belief shifting. So if we can't get rid of that subconscious belief, your subconscious patterning will always sabotage any physical or mental skill that you're trying to accomplish.
Right. So what the goal is, you've got to change the way what you believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then those mental skills help you get there.
Correct.
And so, but you, so you recognize this belief, you have this awareness, and then you realize, okay, I've got to shift this. It's not going to happen with someone yelling me and at me in real time. Right. Right. In fact, the most successful rugby coach, David Smith, I've ever known, he coached several national championships in college. During the rugby matches, he never said anything. Mm. And I was like, why aren't you going to yell? Aren't you going to? And he's like, oh, no, listen, all that's been done long before. Right. Right. And he's like, they already have the belief system in place. So when it comes time to execute, me yelling at them at that moment's not going to do anything. They have to.
Okay, so you mentioned rugby, and I'd love to give a real tangible shout out to another friend of mine who's doing high level coaching. He's working with the men's national team for rugby. And if you've been watching this past season, one of the things that they've been saying is herd up. That must not make sense to anybody else. And I don't want to divulge their mental performance techniques, but they have code words that if a coach needs to speak, or a captain needs to speak, they have a trigger word. Herd up is a set of systems that they've set in the locker room, that they've set in practice, so that when they get to their matches, every single player on the team and every single coach knows exactly what that means. And there's a mental action with it, and there's a physical action. And that comes from Coach Charlie Smith. So shout out to Charlie Smith.
Wow.
Just a real tangible example for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're saying, though, is at that moment, they had to be reminded of the process that they've already established that alters their belief.
And they've done the prep work so that when it happens in a pressure situation, it becomes more automatic. We've tapped into that subconscious programming where it's not a threat. It's actually going to downregulate them and give them something to go to that feels normal. Wow. This is just what we do. We herd up.
Right, right. And so, Amanda, are you saying that the number one thing that keeps people from hitting their maximum potential are some of those limiting beliefs that I can't? I mean, you use the example of a pitcher, but that pitcher may be the best pitcher in all of high school across the country, but she has this limiting belief that she can't pitch to lefties. And so that's going to prevent her from hitting her full potential.
Right. It's an identity-based belief. Here's another favorite example that I love to share.
Okay, wait. First, identity-based belief. Unpack that first. So
here's the example that will help explain that. Okay. And this is my identity that I used to carry. Chad, I know this sounds really silly, but I used to have the identity that I was a plant killer. Okay, so hang with me. I used to live in an apartment that only had windows on the north side, and I would get plants gifted to me and they would always die. Okay. We've since moved on from that apartment. We have a house. You know, I have a couple of house plants. And I told my friend one day, you know what? I'm just a plant killer. She looks at me and she goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm a plant. Every plant I have dies. And so what would happen if a plant entered my home? The plant would inevitably die.
Right.
Now, my good friend Angie said to me, but you grow a beautiful garden every summer. You're telling me all of these exotic plants, these cucumbers, these heirloom tomatoes, you're not a plant killer. You literally grow a garden every year. What's the difference? But because I held the belief that I was a plant killer, every morning when I go get my coffee out of the fridge and I look at my plants up on my shelf, if I'm a plant killer, what actions align with that identity? They're going to die anyway. What's the point? Why should I water them? What actually kills the plants?
Yeah, being on the north side windows.
Well, no, but now that I have this belief, what actually kills the plants isn't the fact that I'm killing them. It's the belief that I'm a plant killer.
Wow.
And therefore, my actions are to kill the plant, because that aligns with our brains want so bad to make us right, true, correct. And so if I hold on to this truth to me, right, a belief, which actually in the word belief is the word lie.
Mm.
So spell out belief. If I hold the lie or the belief that I'm a plant killer, I'm not going to water the plants. So what actually killed the plants? The thought.
Wow.
Belief. That's my belief.
That's phenomenal. That is so good. That is so good, Amanda. And so brains, and you said something there that's so powerful. Brains want so desperately to make you right.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible that you begin to believe things and you'll fulfill those beliefs.
Correct.
And so the very first step is to recognize those beliefs, mm-hmm. to be aware of.
Which, I mean, we talked about this before we hit record. How many times are people walking this planet just on autopilot? Mm. They never question it.
Right.
They might be high performers. They may be incredibly talented. They may be very successful business owners. But if they've never actually done belief work, 80% of our thoughts are subconscious.
Wow. So Amanda, do people just believe certain things that maybe if you were to ask them, they'd say, no, I don't believe that. Right. But they really do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to alter that belief. So let's go back to that pitcher example for a moment where they're saying, I can't throw to lefties.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they do, they have to recognize that belief. Then they have to actually pop that beach ball.
Right. Yeah. They have to notice half the time. They don't even notice that they've been hanging on to this beach ball. Chad, they might've been hanging on to this beach ball since 8U, right? Like how many years have been you letting this beach ball affect your performance? And that's half the battle.
Well, and Amanda, she may have had a coach say, oh, by the way, you're phenomenal. You just can't throw to lefties, right? They may have. I've had enough children involved in youth sports where coaches will say things like, oh, don't say that. Why'd you say that, right? I had a son play men's volleyball at a pretty high level, and his coach told him, you're a phenomenal setter, but you're terrible at serving. Right. His coach told him that. And he's like, you know, and he's like,
and a little seed is planted, and then we can choose to water the seed. And so if he has that idea in his head that got planted either by ourselves or by somebody else, he's going to then search for evidence that either approves or disproves that belief. And if we've never done the work to disprove or challenge those beliefs, over time, oh yeah, coach was right. I just missed that serve. But the opposite is also true. If we have another belief of, you know, I'm working on this. Sure, maybe I'm not as good at my serve as my coach wants me to be. But if I have an alternating belief that I'm working on this, and then I look for those times where I do make the serve, that again, Chad, this is so cheesy, but I'm full of analogy. Have you ever played Yellow Car 2 Points?
No.
Okay, we played it in college. We're stuck in a van. We're stuck in a bus for hours. Yellow car 2 points is you look for a yellow car in traffic and the first one to yell out, yellow car, two points, right, you get 2 points.
Right.
I had no idea how many yellow cars were out in the universe. But did the amount of yellow cars change or did I just start paying attention to them?
Right. And everyone's had that experience, Amanda, whether it's buying a car or buying a shirt. My kids are, for some reason, I just have a couple or three of them left at home. They're like, Dad, we love PacSun. So PacSun is a clothing but PacSun, I swear they only make like three hoodies, right? And so I go to the high school and I'm like, every kid's got the same hoodie, right? That I would have never recognized. Except my sons, you know, go and buy that clothing. And so last question, I know we're getting close on time here, but Amanda, how closely tied are beliefs with your purpose? Are they one and the same or are they, so if you think, okay, this is my purpose, this is my goal, how closely tied are beliefs to that goal, that purpose?
So this is kind of a nuanced question and I've never been asked this. So as I'm processing this question, what you're asking is, are your beliefs tied to your identity in what you do?
Uh-huh.
As in like,
right.
You know, like I am a high performance coach. What are my beliefs tied to my profession?
Correct.
Or what are my beliefs tied to you as a golfer?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what we teach. You have many identities. You will always hold many identities.
Okay.
But if your sole identity is as an athlete, what happens if that identity goes away? Does that change who Chad is?
No.
And the answer is no. But a lot of my clients will say, and I'm dealing with one of my clients right now who just tore her ACL, those times will come. Think back to 2020. I had a bunch of clients that never even dreamed that their sport could be ripped away from them. Right?
Right.
Injuries happen. Pandemics happen. Season-ending injuries. Teams quit. You get cut from your team. And so we actually teach to separate your mission, your passion, your identity from who you are. And when you can separate your identity, we actually separate those. So you can have beliefs about yourself as an athlete. I have beliefs about myself as a mom. I have beliefs about myself as a business owner. But at the end of the day, 90% of all negative beliefs, I do what's called the drill down method. In our subconscious programming, if you were to boil down everybody's single negative thought, do you want to know what the number one insecurity and negative thought is for the entire population?
What is it?
I'm not enough.
Wow. Wow.
So if you can assume that 90% of the population has that deep-seated fear, and we tell them, Chad, you are enough. You will always be enough. It's never gone away. Your titles, your sports, your family, your kids. And if parents can learn this, your kids' success or lack of success has nothing to do with your identity as a parent, right? There's so many nuanced layers to this, but you are not your sport. You are not your career. You are you, and you are enough.
Wow. That is awesome. Wow. Coach AB, Amanda, the content, what you shared, so, so good. If people want to get a hold of you, they follow you, what's the best way to do it?
We are most active on Instagram. We actually have two different Instagrams. We have my personal coaching page, and then we also just started our new Fearless Warrior account. So at Fearless Coach AB or Fearless Warrior are where we're most active.
Oh, love it. Love it. Amanda, we'll have to do this again. Love, love, love what you share. So helpful. So insightful. You are awesome.
Chad, thank you so much.
Oh, it was great being with you. Take care. Bye now.